Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
The Amorites would dwell in Mount Hirz, and Ajalon, and Shaalbim, yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. So Joseph overcame them, but he didn't expel them either. And the coast of the Amorites was from the going up to Akrabbim, from the rock and upward. Chapter 2, the book of Judges, with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, WVFF 97.7. Glad you could be here with us today. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, a small A on that angel, that's an angel, made you go up out of Egypt, and I have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your father, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Ye shall make a league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? God said over and over again, when you get to go in there, when you get to go in there, make sure all these people are thrown out. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but ye shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. They called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had left the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance and possessed the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, in the north side of the hill Gesh. And also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So what did the former generation do? They failed. Mm-hmm. To teach their children.
Didn't pass any of their own.
And God said over and over, build this altar. So your children will ask, and you'll tell them why this altar's here. Build this circle of rocks. So your children will ask one day, and you'll tell them where we came from, how we got here, and what God you serve. Utterly failed. America, you've failed your children. This next generation is a mindless, moralless, heathenistic group of people. Anything goes. You want to be a boy, be a boy. You want to be if you're a boy, you want to be a girl, be a girl. You want to be something in between, be something in between.
Just make it up and go with it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone has to respect.
We'll make a name for it. Yeah. And I'll use whatever restroom I want.
Right. I mean, you could be a cat. Right. Yeah, if you want it to be.
Yeah.
You can legally become a cat. What is that?
Oh, and they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And let me tell you why this was so easily done. God said, I place the spirit of man in the heart, because the mind is contrary to the will of God. And this flesh is an abomination. It's up to the spirit man to get control of the mind and subjugate this flesh. Because this flesh wants pleasure. It wants the best food. More of the best food than it needs. The best drink. It wants sex. It wants anything that feels good. And these other gods, that's what they represent. Mm-hmm. That's what they represent, is worldly pleasure in the act of sacrifice. You know, let's have a big orgy to sacrifice the ball. Ooh, that sounds cool. Let's go and do that.
But first we got to throw our babies in the fire.
Yeah, so it's okay, though. We get to have an orgy.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Absolutely. And they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed their other gods, the gods of the people that were around about them, bowed themselves down unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth, The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could no not any longer stand before their enemies. And this took a generation. 40 years? Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them. And they were greatly distressed. And as Moses had written in his book of remembrance, this is going to happen. Don't let it happen. This is why it's going to happen. Don't do this. Stiff-necked people, God's words. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. That's what I said. They were their champions. They were no longer the flock shepherd. They were the champions now. The flock is dispersed. The flock is doing lots of bad things, more than any one shepherd can take care of over such a vast territory. So the judge, the champion, would go here and there and try to fix these problems and defeat these enemies and overcome these situations and stamp out these cancers of disobedience. Yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out the way which their fathers walked in, obeying commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And it all goes back to the last generation not teaching their children about God and where they had come from. The history. It's what we're trying to do to this country right now. Erase the history of our Judeo-Christian foundations. Mm-hmm. That's basically what happened in one generation. When the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And I read that as, I'm gonna compare it to America. About half of America still looks to God, worries about the morality of this country, and about the other half doesn't. You know, although half of Israel is out doing debauchery, worshiping other gods, having their flesh fests, the other half is groaning about it. Oh Lord, how did we get to this point? Why are we living under the oppression? You know, and God is hearing though. He will hear one out of the dark. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them, and they bow down unto them. They cease not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them, before the nations which Joshua left when he died. They're under the law. They do things with their hands to follow God, to make themselves holy. The first covenant has been totally abandoned. Follow God with all your heart. You follow God with all your heart, you'll know what is right. The morality will be instilled inside you. God will see to it. If you can make yourself holy by sacrificing an animal, yeah, let's go. We'll go to that party, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that sounds cool.
We'll go to the auction first, up a couple lambs.
I seen a whole caravan of hoochie mamas headed that direction. Yeah. And through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered them he them unto the hand of Joshua. Oh, Israel, I only wanted to gather you under my wing and protect you. And you just wouldn't. You wouldn't allow it. Chapter 3, Book of Judges. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. What do you see there, Jonathan? Now these are the nations which the Lord left.
Oh, yeah.
Everything in this book is choreographed. Yeah. God knows the hearts of these people.
that.
Why do you say, what do you think it said, and God was with Judah, but Judah could not drive out the inhabitants? Because God knew the hearts of these people. God's not going to be a sticker you put on the front of your chariot and everybody just leaves. It has to be in the heart. Follow me with all your heart. Oh, yeah, I do, Lord, but can I bring Simeon? Yeah. He's got a bunch of soldiers.
Right, the but.
Yeah,
that point.
But. Yeah. I love you, Jesus, but I got to do nothing on Sunday. Jesus says, oh, my little children, Sunday's not even the Sabbath. What is the greater sin? To put the law ahead of Christ? Or to sanctify Sunday instead of Saturday? Sin is a sin, right?
Yeah.
I just distinctly do not like the sin of telling Jesus Christ his sacrifice just wasn't quite good enough.
It was almost there.
It was
almost there. Just this little part needed to be tweaked.
Yeah. If you could have only left a little bit of the law in there. And you know, and some of the apostles tried to in their writings. You got to be very careful. Mm-hmm. Peter and John. Paul was the only one that had it all totally figured out. He even goes and chastises some of them, trying to put a little bit of the law into Christ's salvation. You can't do it. Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites, the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwell in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. The children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. They left all of them. And they took their daughters to be wives, what I said. And they gave their daughters to their sons and served gods. The Hebrew lines are being polluted with the seed of the serpent. We all have it in us. Why do you think it's so hard to do the things that you want to do correctly and rightly and morally? You got that little devil on one shoulder and the little angel on the other. That's a good analogy. Got the two seeds intermingled in you. Some of us have a lot more of one than the other. Personally, I feel like I'm a 50-50 mix, unfortunately. It's like Paul. The things I love, I don't do. The things I hate, I find myself doing. But it's not me. It's not the spirit man in me. It's the sin which is in me. The seed of the serpent which is in me. Unfortunately, takes control of you sometimes, Christian. And if you deny it, you're a liar. That's a sin too. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forget the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cush. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Sold them in the hand of Chusharishathaim. Chusharishathaim. We're going with that.
Yeah.
King of the Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Chusharishathaim 8 years, already into bondage, simply because they refused to put God in their heart. Instead, they put the God's on my side bumper sticker on their chariots and went to battle. Just put him in your heart. That's all God wants is your heart. If he has your heart, he has your time. He has your mind. He doesn't want your money. He has enough of his own. But if he has your heart, he'll tell you what to do with your money. And he'll bless you. But if you leave, this is a total analogy to every Christian's life. If you leave things in your life contrary to the will of God, you will suffer. You will be cursed. You'll have thorns in your side. The Israelis left things in their kingdoms contrary to the will of God. And you see, a whole bunch of them already in bondage over it. And you will be in bondage. Whether it's in the mind or in the actual physical body, you will be in bondage. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Good bloodline right there. God will if you cry out in earnest to Him, no matter what your situation, no matter how far down the road, no matter how much you have disobeyed, He will hear. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Something just popped in my mind, and I got to say it, you know. I was talking to this elderly man about, you know, you get into a situation, you cry out to God, and He'll save you. Cry out for your salvation. And he said during the war, he didn't know God. He didn't believe in God. He said, during the war, I prayed that my friends wouldn't die. And they died anyway. There's no God. And I had the difficult task of telling him the first and only prayer God hears is the prayer of redemption, you know. Telling him you're sorry. Please forgive me. After that, you have a pipeline. You know, it's don't say there's no God and then ask him for things. Because there is no God to you if you don't believe in him. First, make a covenant with him. I believe in you. Forgive me for my sins. I'll follow after you. Then you have the heart to ask for anything you need. It says, I know the needs of your heart. I know the joys of your soul. I want to give them to you. But you first must belong to me. You got to follow me with all your heart. It's like the ice cream truck coming. The little boy, his dad's not there. As he runs up, some other dad. Buy me an ice cream. I ain't buying you no ice cream. Who are you, kid? First, find your father. And then ask for the ice cream. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. The Lord delivered Chushan-Rishathaim. Ooh, I think I got it. I think I nailed it that time.
Yeah.
Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Chushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years, a generation. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Our first judge. He was a good one. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Hey, the judge is dead.
Yeah.
Party!
Yeah. It's almost like you see a caravan carrying a coffin. And, oh, you know what this means, guys.
Break it out. Yeah. Children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel. And the Lord strengthened Eglon. Oh, why is the Lord on their side? He's not, Christian. Let me tell you. You sin long enough, God will put things in your path to knock you down. Paul says, I have perfect freedom in Christ. Does that give me a license to sin? God forbid. He will put the rod to my back. And he will even put it so far that if I continue, he will cause my death. The death of my flesh for the salvation of my soul before it goes that far. So God strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek and went and smote Israel and possessed the city of palm trees. They've come so far already. In 80 years, they come from going in and possessing the land and not losing a single soldier during the battles. Now, whatever king comes against them wipes them out. The children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer. So, that small minority, still on their knees, crying out to God. The majority should be thankful.
Yes.
Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him, the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. Interesting, the Bible does, I think, two places it calls out. And this was a left-handed man.
Right.
The significance of that, I have pondered vastly. It has some bloodline significance, I guarantee you. And I don't see it as You know, I'm not saying anything about left-handed people. The Bible calls things out for a reason.
Right.
And in two places that I know of in here, it calls out. And he was a left-handed man. But Ehud made a dagger, which had two edges of a cubit length. That was a long knife. And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. That went from his waistline to his knee. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. And Eglon was a very fat man. Tells you about Eglon right there. You feed this flesh, it will get out of control. Your spirit man will go to sleep. And when he made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned away from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silent. And all that stood by him went out from him. So he goes into the room with this dagger. They have their little ceremony, and then he says, King, I have something I need to discuss with you in private. The king says, Oh, drama in the land. Oh, yes. All of you, be gone. Shut the doors. And Ehud came in unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand, there we go with the left hand again, took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. Oh, he murdered him. No, God had passed judgment on this fat king a long time ago. And I kind of see what the left hand is all about here. It was a deceptive attack. Not the normal right hand of strength come in and challenge and kill. It was a deceptive attack. And I'm going to go with that.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So he kills him, sticks the dagger in his big fat belly, goes in so far that you don't even see it. And the haft also went in after the blade. Whole handle went in. That means his whole hand went in there too.
Yeah.
And the fat closed upon the blade. But he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Wow, got into the intestines and everything. Oh. And Ehud's probably sitting there thinking, man, it took me 20 hours to make that dagger. I can't get it out. Sitting there.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to leave this thing.
Yeah.
And Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. When he was gone out, his servants came. And when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked. They said, surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. And they tarried there, and they were ashamed. Behold, he opened the doors not of the parlor. Therefore, they took a key. So they waited a long time. Oh, the king's gone to sleep. I noticed he drank a whole bottle of wine earlier.
Right.
He's in there sleeping. I ain't going in. You go in there, Jonathan. They took a key and opened them, and behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried and passed beyond the quarries and escaped unto Sereth. It came to pass when he was come that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at the time about 10,000 men, all lusty and all men of valor. And there escaped not a man. That doesn't mean they were lusting after women. They were able-bodied men, men of war. Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. Okay, so we get 80 years of rest there. That judge did better than the last one. He got him 40 years. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he took and delivered Israel. Chapter 4. Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. This book of Judges is a wild ride. And it's been very exciting here today. You know what? It's okay to have fun with God's word. You don't have to be solemn. You don't have to be sober. God is the God of joy and love. Get into his book and enjoy it. The more you enjoy it, the more you'll read it. The more you read it, the more you understand it. The more you understand it, the happier your Father will be with you. Don't go home. And when he asks, did you read my book? Couple times. Yeah, I got to read the Bible in a year, of course. I got into Leviticus and I'm sorry, Lord, I dropped out. That was so many begats and begots and all the, you know, yeah, you were there that night. I fell asleep. Yeah. And I just never know. You know what? Get into God's word. Understand it. He'll give you the understanding. There's so many things in here you haven't been told, but they're in here in black and white. Stay with us on WBFFradio.com. Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. Catch up on the former episodes. WBFFradio.com. You'll be amazed at some of the things that are in here that no one's ever told you, because they've never read the book. They were told what they should teach behind the pulpit. They never read the book for themselves. Been good to be with you here today. Any day in God's word.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.